This is Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous, In Depth.
Ashley and I are back, this time with a guest that I know you all are going to be excited about. Bachelor Nation has wanted to hear from our next guest for a long time. This is another in-depth episode of the Almost Famous podcast. Ashley, without giving out a name, how pumped are you for today's sit down?
When I usually come up with questions, the amount of questions never flows the way it did for me today. Like, I just had question after question after question after question. So this person is definitely an interesting person.
100%. This is going to be a great sit down. I'm pumped. Without delaying it any further, she's known from Colton Underwood's season of The Bachelor. She later went on to Bachelor in Paradise, where she was pursued by Derek Paith, but ended up getting engaged to Christian Haggerty at the end. Christian and our next guest announced on Instagram Live that they were splitting up on October 31st of 2019. She is so much more than a Bachelor Nation contestant. Her life is something that we all are going to learn from today. Welcome to the podcast, Demi Burnett.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Hello, hello. We are so excited to have you. I was on your podcast last week, which just started. It's called Big Demi Energy.
Yes.
Do you want to tell us what that's all about? What are you guys going to be covering over there?
Yeah. Big Demi Energy is just about, like, you know, shooting the having fun guests, being confident. You know, it's like the beginning of it, so I'm still talking about a lot of ideas that we can do. It's pretty intimidating, but I'm like starting to have a lot of fun with it now, like the more that it keeps going with time and stuff.
Awesome. All right, well, we are going to get everyone to get to know you so well today that they're going to want more and more of you, and they'll have to go to your podcast to get that. So let's start from the very beginning of your life, Demi.
Oh, gosh.
Can you tell us about growing up and your childhood?
Yeah, so my childhood was interesting. I don't think I've ever really talked about this before. I grew up with a single dad, so whenever I was three, my dad and my mom got divorced, and my mom moved away. She, like, always was, I don't know, we were in Virginia, and she moved to, like, New Mexico, and my dad always took care of us. He was an amazing father. Whenever I was younger, he was working in the White House, and, yeah, working a full job and taking care of me and my brother, and my mom was, you know, somewhere out there. We would see her, like, on holidays and stuff like that, and, like, we loved seeing her so much because, like, even though she wasn't present for a lot of it, whenever we did have time with her, she was, like, such a good mom and, like, so sweet to us and, like, you know, she's just very motherly and loving. So we really liked spending time with her, and it was always so much fun, but it was never stable. Like, we never knew when we were going to see her. We never knew what was going on with her. Like, you know, she was messed up in drugs, messed up with men. And my dad always had a really, really stable environment for us. So we've always been with him, and he's a rock star. And so that's, like, early childhood, living in Stafford, Virginia. And then my dad got remarried to this woman, and she had two sons. So that's whenever I was about six. So I had three brothers and, like, this awesome new stepmom. And it was so funny. We would, like, me and all my brothers would, like, have this lineup of computers, and we would just game all day long together. And so they were together for about 5 years. And then whenever I was 11, something happened. I don't really know what. And they split up then. And my dad and my stepmom at the time. And that was a pretty big bummer because I mean, I had, like, grown so close to these people, you know, and, like, these were my brothers, and, like, all of a sudden they were gone. And so that was really tough, and it was hard on my dad and my brother too, and hard on them. So whenever I was 11, we moved from Stafford to Texas to be closer to my dad's family. And we, like, moved to Fort Worth with his mom and dad, or his mom and his stepdad, and I started going to school there. It was really hard, but, like, my dad was, like, really solid rock through all of it, you know, and, like, just always made sure we were taken care of. And it's just really cool because, like, I know as a parent you have an obligation to do that, but, like, you know, a lot of people fall short, and he, like, never fell short as a dad. Like, we were always his priority. And like, meanwhile, while this is going on, still no idea what's going on with my mom. No idea where she is, like randomly seeing her. She had a, like whenever I would go see her, she had this one house in California. It was in Fresno, like right outside of Fresno in the mountains. And it was like a huge ranch. It was called like Crazy Horse Ranch. And we had like all these horses and any animal we wanted, like we could have it. So we just had so many animals and we were always just fucking around out there and like having a blast with her, like new man who ended up being a complete psychopath. But, you know, he had like a good facade of like making us feel like he was awesome, but he was really trash. But yeah, so that's like, I love like even smelling horse poop now because it just like takes me back to like those fun summers. And it's just special. So then whenever we were like at my dad's house, we moved to this little town called Red Oak whenever I was in seventh grade. And it was it was in the beginning, like the worst like memories that I have, like it's like, you know, middle school, you know, stuff like that. Because I had come from this place in Virginia where like everyone was so nice to me. I had never like been bullied. I'd never had anyone be mean to me. And I moved to this Red Oak town in seventh grade. I'm like going through an awkward stage and I like was so bullied. These girls were so mean, threatening to like kick my ass. And like, I was 12 years old. I had no idea what they were talking about. I was like, what do you mean you're going to kick my ass? You want to fight me? Like, why? It was bizarre. And so then I kind of had to like toughen up and like, I don't know, it kind of made me a little hard. And, you know, like it was weird because I was just so innocent. And then like it hurt me so bad. And so then I was like, OK, like I dog eat dog world, like I've got to figure out how to survive. And girls are just so mean. And then, you know, middle school, like got through it. Then I went to high school and it was the same thing. I played volleyball all throughout all of this. That was my life. And that's like all I ever did. My dad was pretty strict on me. So like I didn't ever party or drink or anything. I just went to school, made great grades, played volleyball, went home. Like it was pretty much all I did. I had some time with friends, but my dad was always super, super like strict about us going to church. So I spent a lot of time going to church like 3 times a week, like Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And so I kind of got like, once I graduated high school, I was like pretty much over that. And I was like, I'm not going to go anymore. I'm going to like, you know, I'll see where life takes me and like where I'm drawn to if I want to get back into that stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Then I graduated and went to college. And since I never partied in high school, I partied so hard in college. And I was wild. But that's kind of whenever I found myself, because in high school, I was friends with everybody and stuff, but I wasn't confident in myself. And so, like, I wasn't myself all the time. Like, I was just kind of, like, quiet or, like, I thought, you know, insecure, thinking people didn't want to talk to me or, like, people didn't want to be friends with me or scared that somebody was going to try to fight me. And so then I went to college and I, like, got this confidence because I was like, you know what? I'm a pretty cool person. Like, people like to be around me, and if they don't, then they don't have to be around me. And I just got to, like, you know, make sure like I treat people well if they treat me well. And, you know, it's still something I work on today is like treating people well no matter what. And, you know, sometimes I just take jokes too far. But yeah. And then after that, I feel like I'm rambling.
No, I love it.
Awesome.
Well, and I think this is a good place here too, is you're definitely not rambling. This is what this is. So this is a lot. This whole setup is about just you personally, so that everybody can out there kind of connect the dots between, okay, this is the Demi we saw on television. This is the Demi we've rooted for, but we've only got to see a very small piece of her life. What brought her to this point today? And so to sum up all of that and to also walk us into this next phase of kind of your life story, as I'm sitting here listening to you, I'm like, okay, there's so much here to unplug, right? Like, I would love to talk to you about your faith now and where that stands. I would love to talk to you about the impact that your family has had on you through all these changes. I would love to talk to you about and just say, like, holy cow, Demi, at seventh grade, you've gone through all of this. Like, there's got to be a lot there that you've learned and realized. So in short, this is what I want to ask you to take us in the next phase is, if there's three things that people need to know about you as a human that would help them understand you, what would those three things be?
One of them would be that I am ultimately pretty dang sensitive, and I try to cover that up, because in the past, whenever I'd shown my emotions, like, this is kind of in regards to like my ex-stepdad that my mom was with, that guy, like, you know, if I would cry about something, like, he would be so mean to me about it. Like, you know, there was just no like sympathy. There was no, he like never felt bad for me or anything, never wanted to make me feel better, just was like, stop crying, you're a baby, like all this stuff. And so it's just kind of like shaming me out of my emotions all the time. So like, I do have like this hard shell around me, but like, I am very sensitive. And I feel things like very, very strongly. I just kind of pretend like I don't, which, you know, isn't healthy. Another thing is that I pretty much live in my head. I overthink a lot of things. I'm constantly in my head, and I can misinterpret a situation by overthinking too much about it. But I always will hear you out, and like, I'm not stubborn on that. Like, I'm willing to change my mind very like quickly and like logically. I'm not irrational. Another thing. I'm very, very protective and loyal and stuff, but sometimes that can get to a point where like, I'm so protective and loyal that it's, and I feel very uncomfortable if I have no control over a situation, or like, you know, like I have a little bit of like a control thing that I'm very aware of, and I have to be like, okay, like, it's okay if you're not in control of like the dinner plans for tonight or something, or it's okay that you're not in control of how somebody's making you feel right now. And just, that's something, because I know that that's caused issues in the past with me and like friendships and stuff like that and relationships. And it's something that like I need like the people in my life to have a little patience with me on it, because like I understand that that's really hard to deal with, somebody who can be a little controlling, and I don't want to be that way. But it's, I don't know, it's like embedded in my brain. It's like, it must be genetic or something, I don't know. But I think it's, I haven't been in control of so many situations in my life that now like it has this obsession with me, like wanting to be able to control it now that I like feel like I can. And yeah, it's tough. It's see, look at me, always in my brain, like overthinking everything, trying to make sense of situations, like trying to figure out the right thing to do or the right way to handle it, or like, you know, be self-aware, and yeah, just live in this brain.
So, I mean, just to close that thought, Demi, how often, Ashley and I talk about this sometimes, but how often is it that you will be in a situation? And I think it's funny because the show is obviously the most relatable example for all of us. But how often can you be in a situation and you like say something, do something, and you look back and you like have this like guilt or shame, or just like you in your own brain questioning like every, like I did it last night, right? I went out with some friends. I don't know what, we did a bourbon tasting, so I drank a bunch of bourbon, and I'm just talking all night, and I wake up this morning, I'm like, what in the world did I say last night? Like, I got so vulnerable that like they're probably scared to death today. And I say this because of relating it back to the show, how hard was it to watch some of this stuff back?
I probably do that like on a daily basis. Like, I say something and I'll just like something. Sometimes I also just say the wrong things, but I will say something and I'll walk away from the situation and I'm like, oh dear God, what did I just say? Like, what did I just do? Like, are they going to interpret that weird? Are they going to be mad at me? Like, I do it every day. Watching the show back, there's so many times where I just cringe and I'm like, oh, I can't even watch it. Like, you know, I'm hard on myself. And whenever, I guess it was less so for Bachelor, because on The Bachelor, they just kind of had me be funny and stuff like that. I mean, there were some things that, you know, offended some people, but I don't know. Paradise for me was like cringy. I don't know why. I can't even watch it again.
All right, Demi, I want to get back into your childhood before we move on to your Bachelor experience, but we're going to do that right after this break. Demi, what age were you when your mom went to prison?
So that's a little unclear for me. You know, parents like want to protect you whenever you're a kid and that kind of information, you know, like, especially me, like I was just this super adorable little blonde girl, like running around. I think the last thing they wanted to tell me was like, your mom's going to prison. So it was sometime whenever I was younger, she went for a couple years. Like I didn't see her for a while and I didn't know why. But yeah, so whenever I was under 10, like I really couldn't even tell you how old I was because I didn't even know until after years after it had happened. And then she went back, So I was 22, I guess, whenever she went in the second time, 21 or 22. And then she got out, you know, whenever I was on the show, and then, she went back. She's in prison right now.
Oh no, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it is what it is. But she'll be out in May. It was just she like violated probation or something, failed a drug test or something.
Are you comfortable sharing with us why she went to prison the other two times?
Did you ask me why she went to prison the other two times?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can Google it and find out. I'm not exactly sure. It had something to do with like embezzlement and fraud and, you know, something to do with that, stealing money from somebody.
It's weird, right? Because when I was prepping for this podcast, I was like, I'm going to laugh my brains off talking to you. And I think we still will. There's a lot of funny things here. But the beauty of you is that you're complex. And we all are, right? We all are complex at some level. But like your story right away is like, I'm just sitting here, I don't know, really happy to be talking to you, I guess would be the thing. Like I'm going to learn a lot from you today. And I know Ashley is as well. How does having growing up, knowing that your mom is in prison, like how does that affect you as a human? I guess that's the best way to say it.
It affected me, like not having her like present and like, you know, making bad decisions and stuff, like not having that like nurture. It definitely kind of made me like a little bit harder and I'm like a little bit colder. And also like I had to, you know, my dad took care of me so well, like the best he or anyone else ever could. But, you know, he had to work, too. So there was a lot of things that like I had to do that normally moms would do. And so I did a lot of things for myself. So like now, if somebody doesn't do things for themselves, they're like, you know, like they have their mom doing a bunch of stuff for them still. I'm like jealous that I didn't have that. And so it makes me a little bitter. And I'm like, you can't do anything yourself. But then I'm like, I'm sorry. I know that I'm just jealous that I never got to experience that. But it definitely like caused a lot of like mommy issues. Like me and my brother always like joke about it. Just because like, loving, like putting so much love and having so much love for this woman who you like, you know, you look up to her so much and you just want her to like be around and just like love you back the way you love her and like constantly chasing her. And it hurt really, really bad. And I mean, I used to cry about it like every night as a kid, but I just now, you know, I don't want to ever like, you know, as an adult, you just kind of get more mature about it. And it's like, I don't want to make my dad feel discredited because, you know, like I feel so bad. I was always crying about my mom to my dad and he's over there doing everything for me. And so, I don't know, because I feel guilty about that. So now I just like sing his praises and, you know, he's my best little buddy. I love that man.
How was it being raised by a father during your teenage years when it came to dating, body changes and all that? Mm.
I definitely just kept it all to myself. I didn't really date that much. Like I would have like 2 week long little boyfriends that I would just see in the hallway or something. I didn't really date anyone seriously. And honestly, I was kind of, I was not a very good person in high school because I would just, they called me Heartbreak Demi because I would just like talk to a guy for 2 weeks and then I was like, okay, I'm over it. And then I'm like, who's the next one? Who's the next one? And I don't know why I did that, but it was cruel. I think I just like was into like the chase. And then once the chase was over, I was like, okay, like next chase. Cause I mean, I mean, that's a terrible, terrible way to be. And I know that, and I would never do that now. But I think it was just kind of like liking the attention. And I knew that I wasn't going to really like hang out with them probably outside of school that much. Cause like, you know, my dad probably wouldn't be too cool with it unless he like knew the guy. And then I was always doing volleyball stuff. And it was kind of just like, I liked crushing on people. But I definitely hurt some people along the way. And that's, I'll have guilt about that forever.
Did you have a mother figure at all during those high school years? Did your dad ever remarry?
Yes. So whenever I was 13, my dad started dating this woman, Bobby, and she was the best thing that ever happened to us. She's incredible. They're still together and everything. She definitely helped me be like more girly and stuff because I was like a total tomboy because I was just growing up with my dad and my brother, and I was like, my dad would try his best, you know, but I always wanted to like wear my brother's clothes and stuff. Like I was just a total tomboy. And so like she definitely girlied me up and like loves me so, so much. Like it's so cool. She just took me in as her own. Like she fully believes I am her daughter. And like she is like my mother. Like she was my mom ever since I was 13.
What did that do for you? I mean, to have at 13, like to have that woman walk into your life?
It was awesome. Like I finally got to have like a motherly figure and got to have like somebody to like talk to, like, you know, girly stuff with and like uncomfortable conversations I don't want to talk to my dad about, you know. I really needed it. And then she has like this amazing family too, and all like I love all of them, they love all of me, they took us right in as well. It was very like healing.
You mentioned playing with boys' hearts in high school. When did you realize you were interested in possibly men and women?
I kind of like had, like whenever I was little, like, you know, whenever you're a young kid and you start playing on the computer and you're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. I was like looking at naked women and I was interested in it and I liked it. And I was probably like fifth grade, maybe started that, but not much. And then it all started with, because one time I went to Demi.com, like just went to it, and it was like a porn site, and I didn't know, obviously, and it like gave me so many viruses. But I was just like, oh, I want to go to my name. And then I was like, huh, that was interesting. I didn't mind that. And so then in seventh grade, there was like a rumor that went around that, because it bullies, that I liked girls, and everyone was like making fun of me and like, what is it called? Is ostracizing the right word? Whenever you
know. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, it works.
Okay. And like, you know, it was just torture. And so I was like, no, I don't. No, I don't. Like, whatever. And then that kind of just like, I don't even know who started that. So weird. But then that just kind of like went away. And I was like, okay, phew. Like, nobody knows about that. Like, it kind of just, everyone forgot about it. And then I just kind of like, I thought about it a lot. But I always thought it was wrong. Because that's just, you know, it's a different day and age now. Back then it was less okay, especially like me, little church girl, like that wouldn't have been chill at the church. Now I'm sure it probably is fine, but I was scared. I didn't want to even entertain the thought. So watched a bunch of girl on girl porn through high school and stuff, and then made my first like move or like acted on it my freshman year of college. And it was funny because it was with a girl. We were in college, but like we went to school together one year whenever we were like in sixth grade or something. And I was like, hey, funny seeing you here.
What was it like when you first realized it? So, you watched, the videos and you looked at the pictures and it was intriguing to you. But when did you realize, like, when did it hit you? Oh, I'm actually into women as well.
I think it was like the very first time I like kissed a girl, and not like drunk kissed a girl at a party, but like intimately kissed a girl. It was crazy, like fireworks in my stomach. I was like, oh my gosh, I loved that.
So was that your freshman year?
Yeah.
Okay. When was your first kiss with a boy?
Seventh grade.
Did you have fireworks there?
No. It was just, I think about like the first, you know, the first time you ever make out, you're like, I've never made out with anyone. Like, I don't know what to do. And I like made out with this kid and it was just a terrible make out. And so it was just awkward. But like, I think that I honestly, like, my first kiss with a boy, I was like three the first time. My like a little 3 year old boyfriend.
I like to call my kindergarten kiss my first kiss too, instead of the 19 year old kiss.
Brutal. 19.
You call yourself the queer queen. You know, you're a queer queen in paradise. Can you tell our audience what the difference between bi, fluid, and queer is?
So I call myself a queer queen. And what I mean by like queer is that like I know that I'm different. I know that I'm not the norm. Mm-hmm. And then sexual fluidity is like you're flowing either way. You know, you are going to change your mind. However you're feeling, like whatever your desires are, your sexuality flows with that. It's never like constant or like consistent. It's like flowing around. And then like gender fluidity is the same concept, except you're just fluid and flowing with like whatever gender you're feeling, like mm-hmm. whatever you're identifying as, it, like, you know, that day or that whatever. It's just flowing back and forth, and maybe flowing forth for a while and back a little in whatever. It's just fluid. And then yeah, bisexual sure. is being attracted to both men and women. Do you think that was
good? And you identify as?
You know, I don't, I guess like, this is so hard for me because like, I don't really know what to identify as. I guess you could say bisexual, but that doesn't mean that I wouldn't date a trans person, because I would, you know, like, or someone who doesn't want to identify as any gender. Like, I would be open to dating anybody if I had a connection with them. So that's why I just kind of say queer, because I'm like, just not the norm, like, whatever.
Hmm. Okay.
So you being queer never came up on Colton's season. Why was that?
I was embarrassed and ashamed, and I didn't want to like weird the girls out or something, you know? I just like wasn't ready to come out, honestly.
Did anybody know? Like any of the producers, anybody?
Yeah. Some of the producers knew like towards the end of it, and then like my closest friends knew. Like I'm sure I told Hannah at some point. But I probably like, yeah. you know, just kind of try to do it casually, like, oh yeah, I've dated women before. Mm-hmm. She's like, what, Demi?
Your mom got out of prison for the second time while you were filming The Bachelor, and you were all the way in Asia. How did it feel not being able to, would you normally have seen her when she got out of prison? Now that we see that this is like a thing that she's done a couple times, like, would you normally go and see her right away, or was the phone call kind of like pretty much what you would do?
As the like years go on and I get older and older, I definitely have seen her less and less. If like the right thing to do would have been to go and see her, you know, it just wasn't convenient for me. And I just was like a little bit selfish about it at this point, just because it's like, it hurts. Like there's so many emotions, like seeing her every time is like just so emotional, and it's just really hard. It's really draining. And so I was in such like a fun place, you know, like I was coming off The Bachelor, like, you know, my life is completely changing, like the show is about to air, and I didn't want to feel those negative feelings. Like I just wanted to like live in what my life it was then, like, and what I'd like, you know, done for myself, and like, and just kind of like relish in the joy and like the excitement, and not like be bummed out by this emotional trauma. And I guess kind of just like avoiding it though is really not the right thing to do, and it would have taken a lot less out of me, out of my life and like myself, than like it how do I say that right, like it would have cost me less than like the amount I would be giving her. Like I would be giving her such an amazing thing. She would have loved to have seen me. That's all she wanted. She wants to see me. And I should have like done the right thing and like immediately gone. I just chose to be selfish in that moment. And I feel guilty about it. But I mean, I don't know. I try to do what I can. I like have little video calls with her now. My brother, I don't think, is talking to her at all, which makes me sad because I know she's sad. It's just like a lot of emotions to take in. And I feel them so strongly. Like I feel for her because she knows that she's like fucking up, and she knows that she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing. She knows that she wasn't there for us, you know, growing up. And she's done a lot of people wrong. And I know she has, like, so much guilt for that and, like, probably a lot of, like, self-hatred and stuff and depression. And it's just, like, taking on all those emotions and, like, thinking about it even. It makes me want to cry. It makes me hurt. It's a lot.
Do you take on those emotions personally?
Yeah, but that's kind of why I like avoid thinking about it a lot or like talking about it a lot. Like it's because it does weigh on me like so much. Like I take them in so much and I get so worried about her and I feel for her. And like, you know, I just like, I don't know what to do to help. And I, you know, I could be angry and I could like, you know, blame her and all this stuff, but everybody in her life is angry with her always and hurt by her and disappointed. And like, she just, I think what she needs from me is just like, I'm never going to be mad at you. I love you. And all I'm going to like give you is love and forgiveness.
Well, speaking of forgiveness, Demi, I would love to talk to you just a few minutes, if you're okay with it, about your faith and what role that plays in your life now. I think it would be super interesting for me and the listeners. Are you good with that?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, hey, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk to Demi about her faith growing up in a conservative household and where that stands today. We'll be back with Demi Burnett on the Almost Famous In Depth. We're back with Demi Burnett. Demi, you had mentioned at the very beginning how much of a role faith and a church community played in your life. And I can relate with that, right? That is something that I hold very dear to my heart. People of the podcast definitely know that. They're sick of me talking about it. So I'm not going to get into my own personal beliefs. But I do want to hear from you on what role now church plays in your life, knowing that for so much of it, it was a 3-day a week thing, as you said.
Yeah. So I haven't even been to church since I graduated high school, I don't think. And it wasn't, it's cause I just like don't know. And I have this thing where I am like, I grew up in a Baptist church. It was, okay. They were wonderful people. I had great memories, church camp, you know, all that stuff. A lot of great friends from there. And I didn't like going just because it was like, okay, we always have to go to church and you got to be quiet there. And it's like boring as a kid and whatever. But there was a lot of times where I really, really was into it. And I like loved going and I like loved like worshiping and like all of this stuff. I loved it. It would be like a post summer camp high, because like we would go to church camp and it was so fun. It was amazing. And like they made it so fun at church camp. And so, you know, you would come back and everyone was like, yeah, we're like super into this now. And like I got a lot of really great friendships from it and a lot of, you know, good life lessons and stuff. What I have what I struggle with getting on board with church, like with picking a religion or picking a faith, is because who am I to say this is what's actually the truth? This is what is right, because there's millions of people that believe 1,000,000,000% that their faith is right. So like, how can I be like, no, mine's right? You know, like, no, this is what happened. But at the end of the day too, I want to find some kind of faith, because I know that, you know, it's not necessarily about like maybe like a logically making sense out of all of it and like trying to like scientifically prove how this could be real. I think it's more like a good feeling and like, you know, a good way to like direct your life and like keep you on track and, you know, and like hold you to a standard. And it feels good to like believe in something.
I mean, would you say then, because as a Baptist, if anybody's listening and they don't know exactly what that means, it is more conservative, super conservative, more fundamental in nature. So they would not be the church that is liberal in thought, thought at all. Baptists would stay more conservative, and I don't say liberal and conservative politically. Like, this is more in terms of, like, socially. But they do believe in Jesus. So Jesus is at the core of, it's a Christian church. So do you miss Jesus? Like, what role does Jesus then play in your life today?
I think, like, yeah, I miss Jesus. Like, I miss that relationship and, like, that feeling, like, you know, that there's something out there that, like, has your back and wants the best for you, like, no matter what, and, like, unconditionally loves you. I think it's really, it's sweet and it's comforting. I guess I just kind of avoid thinking about it at all because I feel guilty because it's like, you know, raised my whole life fully believing in this, like, full-fledged, 100%, no doubts, and then doubting as an adult and, like, just avoiding it. I don't know, it's scary because it's like part of me is like, maybe there's nothing out there. Then there's part of me that's like, maybe there is, and you're betraying them right now, and you're going to burn in hell. It's like, it's, so I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to think about that, I guess, and I'll just figure it out along the way. And, you know, maybe one day, like, not, I don't want anything like bad to happen to me, but, like, you know, maybe I'll just, like, find faith one day, or, like, you know, find, you know, go to church with somebody, or, like, learn about another religion, and, like, I feel really drawn to that, and, you know, maybe that I'm like, oh, aha, this is it, this is what I want to put, like, all of my energy into, and, like, fully believe this, or maybe not, like, I don't know. I really would like to, like, have a faith and believe in something, like, wholeheartedly.
Your story's not, like, abnormal, right? I mean, I'm sure there's people out there listening right now going, yeah, like, shaking their heads, like, this is, Demi is speaking my life into me right now. So I just appreciate you sharing it. It's interesting to me just to, you know, to hear kind of how paths go different directions, both good in their own ways. But thanks for sharing. I know it's not always easy to talk about, and I'm sure there is some, like, you know, thoughts that come into your head as you're even speaking about it. That do make you feel guilty, but I don't ask any of that to make you feel guilty. I'm just intrigued.
Oh, yeah, no worries. I like that you're pushing me a little out of my comfort zone. I like it.
Speaking of being out of your comfort zone, Colton says in his book that you took him out of his comfort zone, and that you, especially that first week or two, was someone that he couldn't really picture developing a romantic relationship with. How do you feel looking back on your relationship with Colton?
I think it's funny. I think it's really funny. I really liked pushing him out of his comfort zone because, like, you know, he was so sweet and, like, gentle. And I don't know, I was just having fun with it. Like, I loved making him squirm and be like, well, what are you doing next? Like, what is Demi going to torture me with tonight? I was really just having a lot of fun with it. And it did, like, take a serious turn for me. And that was uncomfortable. But I think it's because you're in that environment and, like, all you're doing is thinking about Colton Underwood for 24/7. And you've got people telling you, like, you have to, like, you know, you need to show him that you're serious and, like, all this stuff. Like, you need to, you know, make sure he knows how you feel. And, like, I don't know. It's just a lot of, like, in your head, and you're just like, oh, maybe you're right. Maybe I do really like this guy. Maybe I am falling in love with this guy. And then you get home and you're like, yeah, I'm not sad at all about him. I miss my friends.
Yeah. That's how I feel like anyone who's not top four goes back home feeling. When you say that it took a turn, was that when you had the first phone call with your mom with Colton on the phone with you?
Yeah, it's definitely around then. Everything was getting emotional too, like, and then you kind of start getting, like, insecure because you're like, wow, girls are dwindling down. I've been really confident every week that I'd still be here. And I'm kind of starting to second guess it because, I don't know, I don't feel like we're having these really deep, meaningful conversations. And so then, you know, those insecurities for me just kind of make me emotional. And then I start feeling vulnerable and then I start freaking out. And yeah, then my whole personality disappears and I'm just a wreck.
Were you basically told you can't talk to your mom unless Colton's on the phone with you?
No. Well, maybe.
So they were going to
Maybe I was. I can't really remember because I was just sad. I was like crying because they told me that they got a hold of her. And so I was just like crying and I was just really excited. So I don't really remember how the conversation went down. And I probably was a little a little tipsy.
So you leave Colton. He dumps you after you say I love you.
Yep.
How did that affect you? Did that affect you more than just a couple days?
Yeah, it was a shot to the ego. And then the whole world had to watch me get rejected. It was terrible. Mm-hmm. But it definitely just made me feel rejected ultimately. And like the embarrassment of being dumped does not outweigh like the like hurt in my heart of like, wow, somebody doesn't want me. Like, you know, and at that point in my life, like I had been in a lot of like short lived like flings and relationships and things and like where guys ended up not wanting me. And just doesn't feel good at all. And it's embarrassing to watch, but it's also like still to this day, whenever I watch it, I feel emotional. I feel hurt. Like, it's like I can just put myself right back there and feel that pain of like rejection. Like rejection, I don't know, it's one of the biggest things that hurts me.
How do I say this? Demi, we started this podcast out. Demi Burnett is somebody that we think of when we think of funny and quirky. And I think back in the day, you confronted me on it, but I think I called you like the lovable pest.
Yeah.
That like was just always like getting into people. But like you're lovable. At the same time, I don't know how you do that. That's still beyond me. But what I'm learning right now after hearing this, and this is unexpected for me, is that like you feel everything.
Yeah. Yeah, very intensely. Like,
how am I as a fan of you supposed to process your story then? That's been a part of your childhood now through the show. If I watch you, and I'm assuming this is how you are in real life, as like this funny pest like friend that you love and that you just went around because you always are doing, you're always down for anything, but yet if I really got to know you, I would see that you feel everything.
Yeah. What is your question?
So how am I supposed to know, like how am I supposed to process that after seeing your story play out on the show? Like how am I supposed to process your Bachelor experience and moving into Bachelor in Paradise, because that was a huge thing for you too, obviously. Seeing one side of you on TV, but knowing behind the scenes, there was a deep, deep hurt feeling and feelings.
As a fan, like people that are fans of me, what they can like take away from this story and like learning all this stuff about me is just learning that people are complex. And just because like you see somebody and you think, oh, they must have had the best life ever, they're so happy, they're so funny, they're like even kind of like, you know, a little pesty or whatever, they could have a whole other side to their life and be like, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm two different people. Like I have like my deep, vulnerable, emotional, feely side that is a huge part of me, and then I have this side of me that just wants to have fun and make fun of my friends and, you know, just goof around. It's just like people are complex, and like have some forgiveness and like understanding about other people. Like don't just assume things about people. Get to know people better, like, and give people a chance.
That's why we're doing this. This is exactly why we're sitting here. This is why I love this so much, is getting to know you through this in depth.
It's really cool. I like this.
Yeah. Yay. Good. I am eating up every word you're telling us. So now can you tell us about the time that you met Christian off the show, and how fast did that relationship evolve into a romantic one?
Yeah. So I met Christian at Catherine Agro's house. I was in LA for something Bachelor related, and then we were just friends. Like, she was really cool. Then I think I stayed there maybe one night, and then I flew home, and then I came back the next time and was hanging out with her again. And the first night we were hanging out, we just started making out like by the hot tub, and then we just kind of like started spending, every time I was in LA, like I'd spend time with her. And it was just like really easy and really comfortable. And like, yeah, I mean, it went pretty fast, but like it wasn't ever, like there was no title on it. There was no rules.
Official.
Yeah. There wasn't official. And I made it clear that like I had plans and like we were like having fun. I mean, it was definitely emotional like too, but, yeah, like she knew what it was and like, yeah.
What do you say to the fans that think that you should have stayed and pursued a relationship with her off camera since you were so emotionally involved?
I understand that. I could see why people would say that. Obviously, like, I get that side of it. I didn't want to leave. I wanted to, you know, have my free vacation and like, you know, not have my phone so like I could focus on our relationship too, because it's so much different in the real world. And like, I don't know, I liked being there and I liked having people talking to me about my relationship too, like producers and stuff, like maybe helping me make sense of things. Like I had a really great producer and he would just tell me like, you're being an asshole. And I'd be like, okay, thank you. Cause like I would try to justify it if I were in the real world. You know, like I would find some way to be like, well, I'm being an asshole because she's doing this, because this is like, you know, instead of just being like, I need to just change the way I'm thinking because I'm being a jerk. So yeah, it was nice to like have that help and that guidance through your relationship.
A lot of fans got angry at Bachelor production for bringing Christian into Paradise for you. They said it was one of those few times where they actually felt that the producers were meddling with a relationship and they felt that that was obvious. How do you respond to that?
I mean, it's true. Like, I mean, they brought her into Paradise and they totally like made that happen. And so like, yeah, I'm sorry. Like I don't think like it's hard because like I'm biased on it. Like I didn't think that was that important. Like that little detail, like I thought what was important was like sharing like our relationship and like our love story and stuff like that, and being able to see like, you know, I like being able to see me actually like loving somebody and like wanting to like be with somebody like outweighs the minor detail that they did bring in an outsider. But I totally get it. They're justified in like feeling angry about that. Like I get it, and I apologize for like, you know, being there, but like whatever. I mean, they were making TV at any cost, I guess, like, you know.
From my knowledge, Ashley, tell if I'm wrong, this is the first time we've seen a same-sex couple on the Bachelor franchise, right?
Yeah, in the U.S. I think that they've had it in other countries.
In the U.S., okay. Yeah. How did you get to the point, Demi, to be a trailblazer here? Like, when did it click, I'm going to be the first, and I'm okay with this?
Well, it was really uncomfortable, but, like, I don't know. I was just like, I was ready. I was ready to talk about it. Like I didn't do it on The Bachelor, and there it was like, you know, hiding it and like having this secrecy was like really getting to me. Cause it was like, what if people find out not from me? Like I want people to know from me first, like, you know, out of my mouth. I don't want someone to take that away from me because this is like my story and this is my life. So I'd like been, you know, seeing Christian beforehand, and like then we started like filming Paradise stuff, and I was like, well, like let me like tell the world about this because like, you know, it's relevant right now to me. Like I actually am seeing like a woman right now and stuff, so it's like perfect. I'm like in the vibe of it and everything, you know, and I'm ready to like not hide it anymore. And yeah. And then it was the most emotional thing ever. Like, I was so scared. I was scared of, like, what my parents were going to say, you know, how they were going to respond. And then my grandparents and, like, all this conservative family that I have. And that was probably the scariest thing. Like, the world, I was like, the world will probably be like, pretty accepting of it because that's where we're at in this day and age. But it's like, I don't know about my conservative family members who like their opinions matter to me and I value them. Like, I don't know what they're going to think of me and I don't want to disappoint them or embarrass them, but like with coming out with this. So it was really scary.
The other contestants, of course, aren't allowed to bring in relationships from home and date in paradise. But you say, and I think I agree with you, and this is what I defended you about when the show was airing, is there was really no other way to introduce a same-sex couple onto the show than honestly manipulating it a little bit and bringing someone in from the real world. So is that what you're saying? Like, it the importance should override the unfairness to the other contestants?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what I think. I'm not, you know, I don't want to like try to change anyone's opinion on it or whatever. I just, that's what I think. And it's kind of like, let's just get over it and just like be happy and like celebrate the fact that we got to see two women like fall in love with each other.
Right. Okay. Well, you guys do fall in love and you get engaged at the end of the show. And I feel like a lot of people were wondering watching it, if you continue to date in the real world over that summer and not in paradise, would you guys have ever gotten serious enough to the point that you would get engaged?
No way. Probably not. Definitely not.
Okay, so then what went wrong? You did get engaged, as Ashley just mentioned. How did it end?
Not good. Definitely not good. She's... Christian is very, very loving, and she's like the best girlfriend, the best partner to be with. She would do anything for you, and I didn't reciprocate that. I wasn't as good to her as she was to me. I was kind of distant. I was overwhelmed. I was freaked out. I was scared and like going through, you know, all of my family and like everyone finding out about me being open to anything, liking girls, liking boys, liking whatever. That was stressing me out. I had a lot of family that was not a lot, but a couple people in my family like badgering me, texting me with how disappointed they were and all this stuff. I wasn't in it anymore. I wasn't in it, and she was so in it, and she was so good to me, and like that would make me feel guilty because I was like, I'm not feeling the same anymore, and like I feel bad that I don't feel the same anymore because like I made a commitment to you, and like I feel like a garbage human being, and it was really like fucking with me, and like I was fucking with her. And that wasn't fair to her. She deserved way better than me. And, like, I wanted to be with her more than anything. And, like, I kept trying and I kept trying. And, like, I wasn't feeling it anymore. Like, I wasn't feeling like I was before. Like, I don't know. It went away. I probably let it get away because I was so in my head and dealing with other things that were going on. And I missed my like friends, you know, I didn't see my friends that much anymore. Like I would try to, and I was always worried about like hurting her feelings and stuff. And I just don't think that I was anywhere near ready for what I signed myself up for and like what I did. And I feel terribly about it. Like I wish I could go back and do it better. You know what I mean? Treat her way better. And like she deserves, cause she deserves way better than what I gave her. She's in a new relationship now and she looks so happy. And so that makes me very happy. I just feel really bad that I was the person I had become in the relationship, you know?
How rocky was your relationship when she proposed back to you on the reunion show? And did that just make you a little bit irritated that she did that?
Yes.
Maybe as like a saving grace, like the last ditch effort?
You know, it definitely made me angry, but I think it like irritated, and I think that made me irritated because I'm a selfish person sometimes, and like that was like my thing, you know. I was like, I proposed to you, like, you know. And then I was like, why, like, are you, why'd you do it? Like, that makes no sense. Like, that was you know, people don't propose to each other like that normally. Like, I don't know. I was being a bitch about it, essentially. I was just irritated about the situation. And I was just, ew. And, like, I'm such a brat. Like, I didn't like the ring at all. And so I was just.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah. So, you know, I was just a brat and I was being bratty about it and just irritated in general. Because, like, once I start, you know, you start not to feel it with somebody, you kind of get irritable with everything they do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel really, really bad about that too, because it was a, like, really nice, sweet gesture. And I, like, made her probably feel like, you know, she shouldn't have done it or made her feel bad about it. And, like, that's so not fair.
Demi, let's take a break here once again. I know life's been crazy post breakup with Christian. A little recap. You have a new boyfriend. You've made some good friends in Bachelor Nation. We've still got a lot more to talk about, but we appreciate you so far. We'll be back on the Almost Famous In-Depth podcast with Demi Burnett. We're back on the Almost Famous podcast with Demi Burnett. We've sat down with Demi so far, and she's just shared some just really amazing things to us. It's been complex, and complex in, like, a good, healthy way. I'm saying that because we all have stories, and Demi reminded us earlier. Probably the coolest thing, Demi, that I'll take away from this is you saying that people are just complex and our stories are complex. I think that's just a really beautiful reminder to me, so thank you for that. Demi, we've talked about a lot of heavy stuff, kind of, I think, so far. So we're going to pick it up a bit. I know life's really good for you right now, at least I think it is. But you've also made some friends in Bachelor Nation. You've made the headlines many times for your friendship with Nick Vile. Where did that come from? Like, how did that happen? What was your relationship?
So I was a huge Nick fan. I loved his season of The Bachelor. I was, like, obsessed with him. I remember telling Ashley that the first time she interviewed me, it was funny. And so then he asked me to be on his podcast and I was, like, freaking out. I was so excited. And then we just kind of, like, developed this, like, brother-sister relationship. Like, he always is, like, looking out for me and he, like, you know, helps me out in the industry. Like, he's, you know, I got to go to the Golden Globes because of him. He's just a really good friend to me, and, like, we always just make sure that we, like, look out for each other, because I know that we both do controversial things, and, you know, a lot of people don't like him, a lot of people don't like me, and so we just have each other's back. Yeah, it's always been strictly friendship. We've never ever done anything. I've definitely asked him to make out with me once, and he said no.
What drew you to feel like you needed that?
I had, we ate dim sum or something, and then I was, like, drunk off of wine. I was like, you want to make out? And he's like, no, get out of the car.
The only place you go to eat with Nick would be dim sum. That's where he takes all of his friends.
It's where he takes everyone. Takes everyone there. I know, it's so funny. We all joke about it. Like, me and all of his other friends. I'm like, you go to dim sum with Nick recently? Because I did.
Like, it's good. It's not that good,
Nick. It's like his weekly dim sum. He loves it.
I want to ask you about being a representative for the whole LGBTQ community when it comes to the franchise. How has that felt? Are there any really special stories that you have to share about breaking down that barrier for the show?
You know, at first it felt really crazy and overwhelming, but now, you know, it just kind of feels like normal. And also, I don't really do anything with, like, the Bachelor franchise much recently, you know, like, I feel like ever since I got a boyfriend not in Bachelor Nation, they just don't want anything to do with me. But I can't really say, like, I don't even know how I feel about it. Like, honestly, I don't know what to think. The only thing that I will say, like, I do feel proud because of, I've had people come up to me with their stories about, like, you know, one time this mother came up to me at Dancing with the Stars and she said her daughter, like, came out to her because of me and she was crying, like, this mother's crying in front of me. And, like, that was just, like, so moving. And I was just so proud that I was able to do that for somebody out there. And there's been, like, a lot of stories that are similar, like DMs, people thanking me and stuff like that. So it feels really good that I can make people feel comfortable with something that is like one of the most uncomfortable, hardest things to do in the world.
That is awesome. There have been a lot of fans who wanted you to be the Bachelorette. How do you feel like they would have casted that kind of season if you weren't in a relationship right now, which we'll get to in a minute? And how could they integrate more LGBTQ people into the franchise, you think?
You know, I don't know what they would have done. I know what people would have wanted is like half guys, half girls, which, I mean, that would have been super fun. I would have loved that. But then they bring up the issue of them hooking up with each other and stuff like that, which is like, okay, yeah, maybe that would happen too. So I don't know what they could do. I think about it a lot. I don't know how they could do it. I don't have the, I need a team. I need a whole team of people to help me come up with that.
Well, you won't be the Bachelorette anytime soon because we got Claire next and you are in a relationship with a new guy, Slater, right?
Yes.
Slater?
Yes, that's him.
How did you guys meet?
One day Katie texted me and Katie said, hey, do you want to go to lunch with me and my friends? And I was like, yeah, sure. And so I go up to the car and I open the door and there is Slater and I couldn't even breathe. I was like, what the hell, Katie? You didn't tell me this dude was super hot. And we like hung out all day. We went to eat because Katie and him have been friends for years. So it was like me, him, Katie, and this other guy, TK. And we went to go eat. Then we went to the mall. Then we went and got like gin and tonics. Then we went back to Slater's mom's house here in Calabasas. And then we drank wine and we made a TikTok and then we hooked up and then I have been with him every night since then.
You are literally quarantined with your new boyfriend in your boyfriend's family's house. How do you go That's from awesome. That early stage of dating to every single waking moment together?
I don't know because it's so crazy because I'm not normally like this. I can't really handle this much time with anybody, but he just has like such a unique personality and he's just so fun. And I just love being around him. I love just watching him because he just interests the fuck out of me. Like he's just the most fascinating person. And his family is incredible. I met his mom the first night that we met, obviously. And she's just a rock star mom. And then he has his sister. So it's just, I don't know. I would have never imagined I could be doing this because this kind of thing would really intimidate me. But it just like, I don't know. It just kind of happened. Like we just got so close and then now I'm so close with his family and it's, I don't know. It's the craziest thing. It sounds like insane and unhealthy, which it might be a little bit unhealthy, but I don't know. I wouldn't have it any other way.
How's it going so far? What's it like living with his family?
It's great. Like I get along with everyone super well. The person I probably get like don't get along with all the time is just Slater because you know you just start having stupid little bickers. But yeah, I mean it's so much fun. Like his sister and me, we have so much fun together. Like both of his sisters, his older sister's like my new bestie. We just hang out all the time and just do stupid together. Like just get drunk or whatever we want to do, and then we started this new thing where we're having like theme nights. So the other day we did like a Gatsby theme night and I didn't really expect like everyone to participate, but everyone did. And it was so cool and it was so much fun. Yeah, everyone's very, very chill. Like you know how sometimes you're around people and you're like, oh, I gotta like watch myself around them, you know, and like gotta like filter yourself and everything. Not here. Like everyone's accepting of everything. No filters needed. It's just, it's great. It's very, very relaxed.
So good. That's awesome. I'm with my fiance's family as well. So, I know it can be a test and it's actually been great for us too.
Aww,
so
good.
I think that's awesome.
I love that for us.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's, you know what, Demi? We just did like a wild run through your whole, well, I know there's things we skipped, like most of your life to this point. That is a wild ride. Demi, I love this part of the podcast. Since we've gone through everything, it's now your turn to take the stage. There's people out there listening that are just huge fans of you and they love you dearly. And Ashley and I are two of those people. We're going to give you like 30 seconds to a minute here. to just give the fans a message before Ashley takes it away with her famous rapid fire questions. Demi, what would you want to tell your fans right now?
I would want to tell my fans that I love them. I think it's crazy that I even have fans. It's unbelievable still to me. I never thought that I'd be here. And I love how supportive they are to me and how loyal they are to me. And even whenever I doubt myself or, you know, I'm feeling kind of low or something, like they are always there to like reassure me. Like if I'm intimidated by a situation, I have my fans that are like, you know, like me starting a podcast and my fans are like, oh my gosh, yes, we've been waiting for this best part of like the quarantine. Like, you know, like this is what we need right now in 2020. And so it's nice to get reassurance. And so I want to thank them all for the reassurance. And I want them just to, you know, keep up with me and play Animal Crossing with me. And also make sure that they take time to love themselves as much as they love me and to love the people around them. You know, I think that everybody needs a bit more love right now. And yeah, but especially yourself.
Thanks, Demi.
All right. Are we ready for rapid fire?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to start out with talking about your Instagram name, Demi Not Lovato. I feel like more people know you as Demi Not Lovato than Demi Burnett. And then Demi Lovato ends up becoming a good friend of yours. Can you describe your friendship with Demi Lovato in two words?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. My friendship with Demi Lovato. Wholesome. Fun.
And it was just because she was a fan of the show, right? And she like wanted to date Mike, and then she just kind of got chummy with you guys from that season.
Yeah, and then we just started hanging out. Like me and Hannah went over there, and then I just started going over there more often, hanging out with her. Then we went camping together. So we all got really close going camping, and like we've had like cool, like, you know, like healing things and stuff at our house. Like it's really wholesome, and it's good energy.
What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Strawberry.
Interesting. What is your favorite TV show?
Of all time, Game of Thrones. Okay. Most beautiful, complex storyline. I love it.
What's your favorite physical feature of Slater?
His body. Oh my gosh. And his smile.
Your favorite scented body wash?
Dove Coconut Jasmine.
Yay. What are your thoughts of the quarantine crew?
Hannah and Tyler and all them?
Yeah.
Looks like they're having a blast. Also feels like, this, you know, like the random strangers that like nobody knows who they are. I'm like, they are, I'm thinking they're clout chasers. They're like, oh, we've got to get these TikToks going out now. I've got Hannah Brown and Tyler Cameron in the house. Let me ride that clout train.
Oh, that's funny. And lastly, what is your favorite beauty product?
Lip gloss. Like lipstick, lip gloss.
What brand?
What
shade?
So what I like to do is I like to take this NARS lipstick in the color and the shade Barbara. And I like just, this is just like every five, or like every hour I do this pretty much, because I hate whenever my lips have like no color on them, you know? So I just like barely dab it like on there. And then I take a lip gloss, and it can literally be any lip gloss that I have. Like I have lip oils, I've got cheap stuff, like anything, just to like put a little shine gloss on there. And it like looks like slightly natural, but it definitely makes it look so my lips aren't dead.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Demi. Yeah, this in-depth podcast was amazing. We truly got to know you so much better.
Aw, I was really nice, guys. I was very therapeutic.
Oh, good. That's what we love hearing.
Yeah, it's like I just went to therapy.
Thanks.
Demi, this was great. As Ashley said, thank you. So, hey, follow the lead here. Let's see if we can do this right. Sometimes people get it, sometimes not. Just follow Ashley and I. We do it every time. This has been the Almost Famous In-Depth Podcast with one of our favorite Bachelor Nation contestants, Demi Burnett. We'll be back again very soon with another in-depth. I don't know, Ashley, what do you think? Next 2 weeks, we should try to come out with another next month?
Oh, yeah.
What are you thinking?
I would say within 2 weeks, we should have another in-depth.
That's awesome. Hey, well, with that, Demi, as Ashley said, you were awesome.
I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley.
I've been Demi.
Woohoo!
We'll talk to you later, guys.
Bye.
She's been on the show before. She knows what she's doing.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.